Find the perfect space for your business with DRK & Company Realty. Flexible office suites are available. Employees and clients benefit from free parking, front door access, and walkable dining, retail, and hotels at the Polaris Lifestyle Center. Managed by DRK & Company Realty, one of Central Ohio's most trusted leaders, this safe, well-maintained property offers dedicated on-site management and responsive maintenance. Grow your business at an address designed for success at 470 Old Worthington Road. Visit drk-realty.com to learn more.
Charlie Higson and Friends on Scala Radio.
Welcome back. You're listening to Charlie Higson and Friends here on Scala Radio. And my special friend this week, for the first in the series, is my best and oldest friend, Mr. Paul Whitehouse.
We were talking and about how classical music is generally sort of disseminated to the public. And you raised a point. You said that a lot of people are intimidated by somebody saying, well, that was the second movement of the 14th Symphony for strings, the Adagio, Opus 3 in B minor. And you said then that puts a lot of people off and can be intimidating. But I think that that kind of cataloguing and nerdy classification exists in all forms of music.
Well, it can do, but I think particularly in classical music, if you think you don't listen to classical music or you don't like classical music and you hear that, you think, oh, should I know all this stuff? Should I know what it means? And classical music isn't, you know, there is a difference between the way music is presented on Radio 1, say, and the way it's presented on Radio 3. With Radio 1, it's like, oh, here's a great new song. You can really have a great dance to it.
Is that how you think that Radio 1 DJs?
I don't know. I haven't listened to it for about 100 years. I'm too old. But on Radio 3, you know, the piece will end. You'll have about 30 seconds silence. And then someone will come on in a very learned, posh voice. I mean, even Radio 3 has changed.
Hey, it's the silence that's intimidating, isn't it? If you just bung on Radio 3 because you're sick of Talk Sport, as I do every now and then, I'm on a strange Venn diagram that goes from Talk Sport to Radio 3. There's often that real silence. You think, what's going on? Is it the end of the world? Yeah. And then someone will go, that was marvellous.
Yes. So that, but, you know, I mean, we sort of touched on styles of presentation with the jazz club sketches we did on the Far Show, which was picking up on that, because jazz is also treated.
There we are, jazz.
You know, you have to know every single detail about a track. You can't just play a track and say, wow, this is a great tune.
And that is intimidating in the jazz world. But I would also say that
Yes. It was something like Radio 6 Music.
Yeah.
That is, you know,
Bill Sessions in 1972 with the Iggy Pop there featuring Mick Ronson on guitar. He left David Bowie. You know, I mean, it's like Woody Woodmansey popped in for the bass session there. those recordings have never been heard before because originally the tapes were wiped. You know,
there is that in all areas. But I suppose because we all...
permeates all forms of, like, especially with where men are concerned. But I would also take issue with you about, you know, the Radio 1 concept, not that we know what it is, but I find it intimidating. I hear a track that my daughter might want to listen to and I Shazam it, and it's, you know, Munch, a.k.a. Brunch, featuring Lil Bob. And I'm thinking, what on earth is this? I have no idea.
And we've become divorced from it, but then we're not particularly going to want to go to Radio 1 and have them give us a lecture. So, I mean, you know, you can imagine if the old school Radio 1 had played classical music and Mike Smash had been at the controls.
But guys, it's quite literally Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart, or Mozart, not to be confused with Morrissey there. anyway, here he is, a banging tune, and this one's called Paul G. Moore, a strange name, a strange guy. Let's rock.
Yes.
Let's opera.
Okay, now the next piece of music you wanted to play was Caruso's version of Torna a Sorrento, which we couldn't actually find a version that we could play, but we've got, well, Paul, perhaps you'd like to introduce the version of Torna a Sorrento, of whatever it is that we're playing.
Called Torna a Sorrento. people think, a lot of people think is an operatic aria. It's not. It's a Neapolitan song. And singing it today is a legendary guy. He's one of the three tenors. He's quite literally Largiano Pavarotti. And he's singing this Neapolitan song. It's called sort of, I love Neapolitan ice cream. Don't you, great mate? I certainly do. I could eat a bucket of it. And I'm sure that old Pavarotti himself would polish up a bucket of Neapolitan ice cream for his breakfast. Anyway, here he is singing a torna, a sorrento, a wee bar bar, bye bye.
You're listening to Charlie Higson and Friends here on Scala Radio. And my special friend this week, for the first in the series, is my best and oldest friend, Mr. Paul Whitehouse.
That's sweet, Charlie. That's very nice. Thank you very much. And can I say how much I'm enjoying this?
Well, I mean, it's great. I mean, because we've not been meeting in person much, so it's nice just to have a chat to you for a couple of hours and listen to some great music as well.
A couple of hours is quite long enough, though.
But the next bit that he's chosen for us is something rather different. It's possibly one of the greatest pieces of music ever written, according to him anyway. So that was, of course, the theme music from Match of the Day. But, Paul, is that really the greatest piece of music ever written?
All right, I'll qualify a little bit, Charlie. I was being a bit cheeky and a bit irreverent, like I believe is the sort of thrust of Scala and you in particular. And let's, hey, you know, classical music's for everyone. It's not classical music, is it? It's got like a proper drum kit on it. But it is a brass instrumental piece, I think. And it's... I can honestly say that that piece of music has brought me more joy in my life than any other piece of music. It's stayed with me since I was a little 7 or 8 year old kid and I first realised that Match of the Day was the best thing on British telly then, and it still is now. Even though actually a lot of the time when I watch it, I'm bored to tears. There's something so reassuring and joyous about that that theme tune. So I put it in. It's a little bit, you know, as I say, a little bit edgy.
No, we wanted to play music that meant something to you. And the fact that that has stayed with you all through your life. I mean, it's probably a march, isn't it?
It probably is a march.
And I'm sure there must be lots of versions that have been played by the band of the Coldstream Guards or whatever.
Probably, yeah.
I believe when Donald Trump came over, they played that as they marched past him. But you see, but what the interesting thing is...
Can I say something about Donald Trump? Because I had the sort of misfortune to watch John Lydon the other day talking about how he'd voted for Trump and how I'm so working class. He said, well, you're not. You live in Los Angeles and have lived a life of untold extravagance for the past 4 decades. And he was born working class. But, you know, it just makes me laugh. We were talking about music and how revolutionary music can be and how subversive. And, of course, the Sex Pistols, you know, when they came out with Anarchy in the UK and God Save the Queen, probably thought they were being very subversive. John Lydon used to walk around wearing a T-shirt that said, I hate Pink Floyd, didn't he? It was quite funny. he'd scrawled, I hate, above Pink Floyd. And I thought, of course, one of the most subversive pieces of music ever written was, in fact, Pink Floyd's Another Brick in the Wall, which was taken up as a sort of anthem, I believe, in the townships in South Africa towards the end of apartheid. How about that, Charlie Higson?
Well, yes. Well, music can have unexpected consequences.
Yeah, and the circle has turned. hasn't it, upon Mr. Lydon, that Pink Floyd became the most subversive band ever. And it just made me wonder if Dave Gilmour might get a Sex Pistols T-shirt out and write "I Hate" above the Sex Pistols and start wearing it.
Well, shall we? Let's see if we can get hold of him. Yeah. Give him a call. Dave, any chance you might get a scroll "I Hate" on a Sex Pistols T-shirt?
And then perhaps you could get in touch with John Lydon and say, John, what do you make of Nick Mason or Dave Gilmour saying, "I hate Pink Floyd"? How do you feel about that?
What are we playing next? We're going to back to some more Mozart.
K219, violin concerto.
K22:1.allegro. Oh, look, it's a great piece of music. Which is, what? How does this bit go? What's the melody?
This, for me, Charlie, this bit of Mozart is, I would describe this as a little bit Crash Bang Wallop, okay? But it also is, it demonstrates the virtuosity of the violin. And there's a little bit, again, I think Mozart preempted so much. It sounds like a sort of guitar solo a lot of the time. So obviously it had been borrowed. You realise how much has been appropriated, you know, by current musical forms or recent.
Yeah, well, that is one of the things that people sometimes find off-putting about classical music is they say, well, where's the tune? You know, the violins are going do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do all over the place. And, yeah, if you say to them, well, think of it like a guitar solo.
Yeah.
It becomes something more familiar.
There's a bit at the end, there's a sort of gap, and the violin starts up and you realise that there's about a six-minute end. You feel it building up and you realise, oh, I see, he started the finale there, and it's just fantastic. When you listen to it a couple of times, you realise that's what he's doing there. Everything stops and this violin starts up on its own, gradually building up. And it could easily be a sort of Jimi Hendrix type, you know, build-up.
Well, let's listen to that. This is Charlie Hickson and Friends here on Scala Radio. And my friend this week is Paul Whitehouse, who's been playing a lot of opera music, which I'm very, very happy with. I love opera and going to the opera. I've had some amazing experiences going to the opera over the years. I remember one time I was backpacking through Europe and managed to get a job working at a sort of avant-garde music festival in Montepulciano, which is a classic hilltop Tuscan village. It has this amazing music festival, a lot of modern music, but also a lot of old music. And they've got this crumbly old, quite small opera house there. And the first night I arrived there, because I managed to get a job building the sets for this opera that was traveling around. But the first night I got there, they said, "Oh, let's go to the opera." And we went there, and yeah, I was just wearing shorts and T-shirt, and we took in bottles of wine and sandwiches and stuff, and sat in a box. And it was actually The Marriage of Figaro, which we've had a couple of tracks from, a couple of arias from before. And it was great because it was just full of ordinary Italian people from the town and the surrounding area who were just coming in for a great night as if they were going to see a musical or whatever. And it was a really fabulous night. And it just made me think, you know, if only other people could go and see opera out of the sort of stuffy dinner suited world of the Royal Opera House.
I remember you telling me about that many years ago, Charlie, describing that summer and that experience you had with that. And I remember at the time, it really stuck with me. It seems very vivid and visual image to me, that. I can picture you there in your shorts and your T-shirt.
Yeah, but it's, you know, the end of the day, the sun's going down, it's really hot, dusty, and people are streaming into this opera house from the surrounding villages. It was absolutely magical. And you get much more of a feeling of how this music can be and the joy it can bring into people's lives.
Find the perfect space for your business with DRK and Company Realty. Flexible office suites are available. Employees and clients benefit from free parking, front door access, and walkable dining, retail, and hotels at the Polaris Lifestyle Center. Managed by DRK and Company Realty, one of Central Ohio's most trusted leaders, this safe, well-maintained property offers dedicated on-site management and responsive maintenance. Grow your business at an address designed for success at 470 Old Worthington Road. Visit drk-realty.com to learn more.
Pace, pace, mio Dio, pace, mio Dio.
Yes, it's pace, pace, mio Dio, as sung by my friend Paul Whitehouse. You've chosen a version sung by Leontine Price. Was there a particular reason for that?
Yeah, there was, actually. It's a sort of political correctness, Charlie, if you like. Pace, pace, mio Dio, peace, peace, my God. You know, she's torn apart by a lost love. And one of the sort of the usual themes of opera arias, especially for the females, well, and the males for that matter. But Leontine Price is African-American. And there have been quite a few black opera singers over the years that perhaps have not and has not been highlighted very often. And so I wanted to say Leontine Price was a brilliant singer and her version of Pace is fantastic.
But again, I think it gets across the point that opera is not just for and by stuffy old middle-aged white men. That there are a lot of black singers, opera singers. And back in the 80s, there was a very big cult French movie called Diva, which everyone of our age, Paul, went to see. It's a sort of weird, culty, sort of crime film. And the young guy in it becomes obsessed with a black opera singer who is the diva of the title. And the aria that is sung in the film, La Wally.
La Wally.
La Wally. Which translates as the Wally, was sung by Wilhelmina Fernandez. So, and it actually became quite a hit at the time. Paul, tell us a bit about this next track. It's a bit unusual.
It is unusual. It's not an unusual piece of music. It's Mendelssohn's Violin Concerto, which is quite well known and acknowledged as a very difficult piece to play. And again, it's a well-known Afro-American, Black American soloist. He's not a professional musician. He went on to have a very different career indeed, but he trained as a violinist in his early years. And here it is. See if you can guess who it might be.
That was Mendelssohn's Violin Concerto in E minor, which was one of the pieces I used to love listening to as a kid. I mean, the violin on that is just so, so over the top. And that version, as you say, is played by someone who was not a professional musician. And it's actually from a concert he did on his 60th birthday. And it was like, it's my birthday. I'm going to play Mendelssohn with an orchestra. But I mean, it is very... Paul, tell us who it is that actually was the soloist on that.
Well, that is actually the leader of the Nation of Islam, Louis Farrakhan, Jolly.
Well,
extraordinary, isn't it? And I found this out via a very circuitous route that he was able to play this. And apparently he did train as a classical and concert violinist. And he was moderately successful, actually. And I think he won quite a few talent shows. But then, you know, he went on chose a very different route, obviously, and ended up, going into politics. So one of the things he said, actually, was there's enough black singers and entertainers. we need more political thinkers. So, but I would imagine that you know, in the dark nights of the soul of politics, I would imagine that in the rough and tumble of politics, he must have wished many times that he'd stuck with the violin. And obviously,
well, I mean, as you said in your introduction, it's a technically an extremely tricky piece to play.
Anyway, and he made the point, he said, you know, look, this music is available for everyone, and black and Afro-American and people of colour should not be excluded from it or think that it isn't for them as for everyone else. And he actually has made that specific point. So I thought it was quite an interesting thing to bring.
Talking about the technical challenge of playing the violin, Eos Council played all the violin for Benedict Cumberbatch in Sherlock. She would show him roughly what he was supposed to be doing, and then she would stand out of shot and actually play the piece, and he would watch what she was doing and mime along to it. So there you are. There's an interesting fact for you. Too good. I think we've got two good pub quiz questions there. Who played the violin in Sherlock, and who is playing this version of Mendelssohn?
Yeah.
Well, let's have some more music now. And this is another vocal piece, but it's not actually from an opera. It's from Richard Strauss's Four Last Songs. A great song cycle that I came to quite late in life. And I think you probably need to. When we started out this show, we talked about the sort of crash, bang, wallop type of lively 1812 overture type of music that you perhaps get into first as a kid. And you mature as you get older, and you steer clear of people like Mahler and Strauss, perhaps, and Sir Michael Tippett, as we touched on earlier. But then as you get older, you don't necessarily want to be hearing cannons going off during your classical piece. And there is something just beautifully moving and melancholy. And the fact that it is the Four Last Songs, it's a sort of thing you can imagine as you walk slowly off into the twilight. This is the third of the Four Last Songs, or the Via Letzte Lieder, and I'm going to completely mispronounce it. It's called something like Beim Schlafengehen. That was a great Jesse Norman singing the third of Richard Strauss's Four Last Songs, Beim Schlafengehen.
Yeah, you've nailed it again. Then,
I'm not a professional DJ or presenter.
Not a professional German either, are you?
No, not a professional German.
Jesse Norman, of course, another celebrated black American, black soprano.
Yes.
Mezzo-soprano. Was she a mezzo?
I don't know. Again, we're straying into slight
techno. Well, we're not. Do they play lead guitar?
Yeah, it's slightly less high than the soprano, I believe.
Exactly.
Mezzo soprano, which is like the half soprano. It's sort of one down from the highest range of the soprano singers. Yeah, you see, as I was saying, I'm not here as a professional. I'm here as someone who loves listening to this music. And I like sharing it with people. And it's great, Paul, for you to be sharing some of your favourite music.
It's been my pleasure, Charlie. And, you know, sometimes I don't visit the classical music and the opera as much as I should. And I get a little trigger and then I'll sort of binge on it and then I'll leave it alone for a while, you know. Similarly, I might sort of have a little trigger and I'll have a look at late period Beatles and I'll listen to them in Abbey Road, you know, and listen to them endlessly for 2 weeks till I can't bear them anymore. But you were talking about a mezzo-soprano and we're moving into full mezzo-soprano territory now for this this aria, which is from Samson and Delilah. And let's see if I get this right. Marqueur s'ouvre à ta voix. Which, Charlie, my heart is open to your voice.
Yes.
But it's trickery, Charlie. It's trickery. She's tricking him.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Oh.
Spoiler alert.
a femme
fatale. I might want to go and see Samson and Delilah and not know how it ends.
I tell you what, you've got the long hair of the Samson in his prime at the moment. You've got the lockdown locks, haven't you?
I have. I didn't. I was about to go to the barber just before we went into lockdown, and I couldn't.
Now, as I say, you look like a bass player from Bad Company. You know?
Yeah, which yeah. We can't see on the radio, but perhaps we could. Might be able to put a photo up on the.
Right. But anyway, this is. Yeah. This
but no, I'll just let me just finish that. I say I'm not going to have it cut until it's all over, until we're finally clear of this thing.
Yeah, it could be.
Yes.
A decade or so, yeah, mate. Yes.
By which point I'll be being arrested as a vagrant.
Well, this is another sort of slowly building piece. She's trying to tempt Samson, and it's a beautiful, beautiful aria. And my youngest daughter is called Delilah. I'd like to say it was after this, but it's more likely to be after the Tom Jones, Why Delilah.
Yeah, but there's not another aria in Sanson's opera, per-que Delilah, is there?
No. Do you know what? There's a beautiful bit at the end of one version of it where Samson comes in and goes, Delilah, Delilah. And I never can find it. I can never find that. It's lovely where they both just sort of echo off. You know that in some arias, there's a beautiful end where the singers sort of walk off and you hear that lovely fading, echoing harmony. Unfortunately, I've never been able to find it since. So I'll just imagine that, will you?
Yeah, well, maybe we could just dub in you singing it over the end with a bit of echo on. No one will know. Paul, I've really enjoyed catching up with you and sharing this music. I hope you've enjoyed yourself as well.
I really have, Charlie. I've had a fantastic time. And we've learnt... what have we learnt? I'll tell you what we've learnt, is that we aren't very good at pronouncing
foreign names. No, I've just enjoyed myself, and that's the main thing. And I hope you've enjoyed listening. And I hope you'll come back when my guest also once pretended to be a member of Slade. It's Bob Mortimer.
And lovely Bob.
Yeah, Bob Mortimer, your old fishing partner. Yeah. I was going to talk about the fishing show, but I didn't. Maybe I'll talk to him about it.
Talk to him about it. He'll give you an interesting slant.
Well, it has been amazingly popular show. And congratulations on that.
Well, thank you very much. Maybe we'll go for a curry soon.
Well, as soon as we're able, let us do that.
In episode 2 of the Charlie Higson and Friends podcast, we heard an extract of Torna a Sorrento by Ernesto de Curtis, performed by Luciano Pavarotti and the orchestra of the Maggio Musicale Fiorentina. We also heard a clip of Offside by Barry Stoller, better known as the Match of the Day theme, followed by part of Mozart's Violin Concerto No. 5, performed by the London Symphony Orchestra, and Nikolai Scheps Znaider, available on the London Symphony Orchestra's own label, LSO Live. Paul chose an extract of Louis Farrakhan's live performance of Mendelssohn's Violin Concerto, and the final extract was from Going to Sleep from Richard Strauss's Four Last Songs, performed by Jesse Norman and the Leipzig Gewandhaus Orchestra. Bob Mortimer is Charlie Higson's friend in the next 2 podcast episodes, and if you'd like to discover more about classical music, check out Scala Radio, home to Angelica Bell, Simon Mayo, Mark Kermode, Penny Smith and me, Hannah Cox, broadcasting across the UK on DAB Digital Radio, online, smart speaker, on the free-to-download app and on Sky TV channel 0216.